सैव सत्य की बात
है, सैव सत्य की बात है,
मुजिदास्य अभिमान्यता,
मुजिदास्य अभिमान्यता,
Tata eva, similarly,
Satyaki,
Satyaki,
Paratai,
by the sons of Pritha,
Pujata,
worshipped,
Cha,
and
Abhivandita,
welcomed,
Nishashada,
sit down,
asane,
on a seat,
anye,
the others,
cha,
also,
pujata,
worshipped,
paryupasata,
sat around.
Satyaki also accepted a seat of honor after receiving worship and welcome from the Pandavas and the Lord's other companions. Being duly honored, sat down in various places. The Lord then went to see his aunt, Queen Kunti. He bowed down to her, and she embraced him, her eyes moist with great affection. Lord Krishna inquired from her and her daughter-in-law, Draupadi, about their welfare, and they in turn questioned him at length about his relatives in Dwaraka. So overcome by love that her throat choked up and her eyes filled with tears, Queen Kunti remembered the many troubles she and her sons had endured. Thus, she addressed Lord Sri Krishna, who appears before his devotees to drive away their distress. Queen Kunti said, "My dear Krishna, our welfare was assured only when you remembered us, your relatives, and gave us your protection by sending my brother to visit us. For you, the well-wishing friend and supreme soul of the universe, there is never any illusion of us and them. Yet even so, residing within the hearts of all, you eradicate the sufferings of those who remember you constantly." Purport. The intelligent Queen Kunti here points out that even though Lord Krishna is dealing with her affectionately as a relative, he is not compromising his position as the well-wishing soul of the universe. In other words, the Lord does not play favorites, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, "Samoham sarva bhuteshu," I am equal to everyone. So while the Lord reciprocates with all souls, it is natural that those who love him intensely receive his special attention, for they want him and nothing else.
Om Akyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitri Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pricharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Aschatya Deshatarine Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Queen Kunti said, My dear Krishna, our welfare was assured only when you remembered us, your relatives, and gave us your protection by sending my brother to visit us. For you, the well-wishing friend and supreme soul of the universe, there is never any illusion of us and them. Yet even so, residing within the hearts of all, You eradicate the sufferings of those who remember you constantly. Lord Sri Krishna has just come to the holy city of Indraprastha to visit his dearly beloved devotees, the Pandavas. In these beautiful verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading of how the Pandavas greeted Krishna with such love and humility. Also, in today's verses, it is being explained how the Pandavas also honored with great affection and worshipped Satyaki, who was a very dear devotee and associate of the Lord. Those who are near and dear to the Lord are given a similar form of respect to the Lord Himself. That is the etiquette which attracts the heart of Lord Sri Krishna. Mad bhakta puja adhika. Krishna has explained that those who worship my devotee, they are most dear to me. And you can never separate Krishna from his devotees. Whenever Krishna appears, he appears with his divine associates. So here we find that when Krishna is coming from Dwarka, he is bringing with him Satyaki. And the Pandavas, in order to give full satisfaction to Lord Sri Krishna, gives great honor and worship to both of them. And then Krishna, he is going to see his beloved aunt and devotee, Queen Kunti. And Krishna, he bows at her lotus feet. Queen Kunti is a lady who really has been through so much tribulation and distress in her life, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of Brahma and Shiva and Indra, all the gods and all of the creation. With great respect, he is bowing down at the feet of Queen Kunti. For two reasons. In order to demonstrate proper behavior for all people to follow, Krishna is bowing down to Queen Kunti because in regard to their family situation, she was elderly to him. And it is a moral principle which is very carefully followed by all those who are pursuing the path of Vedic knowledge, to offer respect to those who are in a senior position to ourselves. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was in New York City in 1966, he had two disciples. They were brothers. And on the day of initiation, they invited their mother. She was not a devotee. She was not a Hindu. She was not following the four regulative principles. But she was their mother. And they were brahmacharis, later to become sannyasis. And Srila Prabhupada told them that you must bow down and touch the feet of your mother. Now, for you who have some understanding of American culture, this is unheard of. Nobody bows down to anyone, but to speak of touching their feet. In fact, this is completely absent from the culture of the West. In fact, culture is completely absent from the culture of the West. So this was a very radical activity for them to exhibit. And the mother, she really didn't know what was happening. These children probably never showed much respect for her in her whole life. That's the way American society is. But to speak of bowing down humbly and taking the dust from her feet. And Srila Prabhupada explained to the mother, as well as to the children, that this is proper. That the mother and father are in a superior position. They have done so much for the children. Even if a child is surrendering to Krishna, that child may not be following the instructions of the mother and father. But even still, it is the duty of the child to offer respect and affection to superiors. And those who do not do this, they transgress the Vedic principles. And it is actually considered to be immoral. And Lord Sri Krishna, he wanted to show the society that whoever you are, however great you are, you must bow down and offer respects to superiors. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is showing us in such a wonderful way how we should behave in a loving mood within the world we live. And from a more internal perspective, Queen Kunti was such a great devotee that in any situation of life, she was always remembering Krishna. And when such a devotee remembers Krishna, remains loyal and faithful to Krishna's service, despite all obstacles in life, Krishna becomes subordinate to that devotee's love. Because it is Bhakti Devi, pure devotion, that is the life and the joy of the Supreme Lord. Many of you have been to Barasana Dham in Brajbhumi. We have very dear friends at one sacred place called Man Mandir. It is the place where Lord Sri Krishna displays his eternal subordination to the love of Srimati Radharani by placing his head at her lotus feet, sometimes even bathing her feet with his tears of affection. And Srimati Radharani is the reservoir of all bhakti. And whatever bhakti is in any living being's heart, it is ultimately being derived from the reservoir of all love, Srimati Radharani. Just as every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, similarly, whatever pure, unalloyed love, which is dormant or manifest within any being's heart, that love is part and parcel of the supreme love of Srimati Radhikarani. And Krishna has displayed again and again how he is always subordinate to the love of Srimati Radharani, and therefore he is always subordinate wherever that love appears through any living being. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, he washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, although he was a very poor Brahmin. And Krishna was the Lord of Dwarka, living in 16,108 palaces, each one more magnificent than anything in the heavenly planets. And Sudama Vipra was poverty-stricken to the extent that he and his wife were starving. But yet Krishna, the manifestation of true devotion is when, under any circumstance in life, we remember Krishna with a grateful heart. Tateinu kampam sushimikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam hridbhag vapur bir vidadam namaste jivetya mukti pade sadaya bhak. Lord Brahma himself has revealed this wonderful sloka. It was at the time after Lord Brahma, due to a certain influence of Yoga Maya, he became a little proud, thinking himself to be the creator of the universe. And he captured Krishna's cowherd boys and hid them in a secret place for one full year. And when he came back to see what type of disturbance he had caused, he saw all the cowherd boys and all the calves were still there. He was certain that he had already captured them. He was bewildered until it was all revealed to him that each calf and each cowherd boy became Krishna. He realized that Krishna had expanded himself in all these duplicate forms. And then he realized that Krishna is the Supreme. And even though I am the creator and the father of everyone within this universe, I am nothing but the insignificant servant of Sri Krishna. That is my eternal constitutional position. So he came down and he placed his heads at the feet of Krishna. And he offered beautiful prayers. And this is one of those prayers. My Lord, those who endure severe sufferings and difficulties, and in the process they do not complain, they do not lose faith, but rather with folded palms. Folded palms means with a grateful heart, they worship your lotus feet by remembering you. To such a person, liberation, real liberation, pure devotional service is their rightful claim. Krishna does not give pure devotional service to anyone. Rupa Goswami explains the first characteristic of pure devotional service is that it is very, very rare. It is rare because when Krishna gives it, he becomes subordinate to that devotee's love. He becomes the servant of the bhakti of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada would often say that the impersonalists, they want to become God. But the devotees, they don't want to become God. But by serving God with humility and love, they become better than God. How do they become better than God? Because God himself becomes the servant of his devotee. Just as he washed the feet of Sudama, just as he carried the wooden sandals of Nanda Maharaj on top of his beautiful head, the whole world, the whole universe, the whole creation is aspiring for a speck of dust from Krishna's lotus feet. Yet he is carrying the shoes of his devotees on his head. This is bhakti. And Queen Kunti, because of her constant remembrance of Krishna with love and affection, even under the circumstances of great tragedies, she never forgot Krishna. Her own husband, Pandu, when she was young, just a young lady, and she had five young children, he died. Queen Kunti understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. She knew that Krishna is the controller of all controllers, that not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. But when Pandu, when he got implicated in that difficult curse of a Brahmin and therefore died, Queen Kunti, with a prayerful and loving heart, she just remembered Krishna. You are my Lord, you are my Savior. Please protect me. And through all the injustices of her sons and herself, she's referring to the incident where Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra sent the Pandavas along with their mother Kunti to Varnataka, where the Kurus had built a house made of highly inflammable lac. Their purpose was to burn them to death. So while they were living in Varnataka for some time, they decided what they considered the auspicious moment when they should burn the Pandavas to death, as well as Queen Kunti. What did she ever do? What did any of them ever do besides just trying to loyally and faithfully serve the Lord? But even when you're harmless, the nature of this world is people will hate you and try to destroy you. Even when you're a genuine well-wisher for others, the nature of this material existence is people will try to destroy you. Queen Kunti was the loving, affectionate aunt of all the Kurus. She loved them just as she loved her own children. But they wanted her dead because somehow or other she was connected to the Pandavas, her own children. But Vidura was sent by Krishna to explain to them that, do you notice how nicely Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana are taking care of you? Isn't that a little suspicious? Srila Prabhupada used to say that too much devotion is the sign of a thief. When somebody's too devotional toward you, you have to be very careful. What do they want from me? So Duryodhana, he sent his servants to Varnataka, and they were so nice. Dhritarashtra said, oh, we love you so much, my dear, you are like my own sons. You've been working hard. We want to give you some pleasure, some relaxation. We have built a beautiful, wonderful palace just for you and Kunti to have a nice vacation and enjoy. And we'll send our own servants there to take care of you and to cook for you and to do everything nice so that you just enjoy wonderful pleasure, because we want to show our love for you. After all, whatever's happened in the past is gone. So Yudhisthira, he went. But he was thinking in his mind, But out of respect for Dhritarashtra, he had to obey him because he was a superior. But Vidura came and he explained the situation, that on this particular day, so they began to dig tunnel under the ground, Bhima, so that they could escape. And ultimately, they burned the house down with the attempt to kill them all, but they escaped by the grace of Krishna. And then they had to hide in the forest for some time. And in due course of time, they came back to Indraprastha. So Queen Kunti, through all of these great dangers and difficulties, she never asked Krishna, why are you doing this to us? If you like, you could stop it because you're God. With love and devotion, she accepted that this must be a minimum reaction for the unlimited sins I have committed in the past. But Krishna, you are so kind. You are allowing me to remember you through these tragedies. And in remembering you, I am seeing your divine form, and I do not have to see birth and death ever again. So how Krishna loves those devotees who remember him affectionately in any situation in life. To such a devotee, Krishna is willing to personally bow at their lotus feet. So we can understand how much respect we must offer to such devotees. If this is how Krishna is respecting his devotees, and how we must also. What is our position? The first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme those devotees who are honestly and sincerely spreading the glories of the holy name throughout the world. And it is called the mad elephant offense. There's no more dangerous animal than a mad elephant, because a serpent can kill one or two people. A lion or a tiger can also, they may kill a few people. But an elephant, a mad elephant, could not only kill an entire village, but can destroy the entire village. And it is explained that those who are growing the flowers of devotion or spirituality, to allow a mad elephant into that garden means everything is devastated. In the same way, by carelessly or due to some form of jealousy, if we unnecessarily criticize, offend, or blaspheme those whose feet Krishna worships, it is like a mad elephant, disturbing all of the spiritual progress we have made over so many long years. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned us, we must very carefully guard against this. Because ultimately, the mad elephant is that we lose the favor of Krishna. And all of our spiritual progress is exclusively depending on gaining the favor of Krishna. Queen Kunti is praying to Krishna that our welfare was assured only when you remembered us. Krishna explains in Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu namedveshosti napriya ye bhajanti tamam bhaktya maite teshu chakyaham ye yathamam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajami. That Krishna is equal to everyone. He gives everyone equal chance to perfect their lives, because Krishna sees every person as his own child. Sarva yoni shakontaya murataya sambhavantaya tasam brahma mahajonir aham bija pradapita. Krishna is the father of every living entity. The father does not discriminate, a good father. He gives every child equal love and affection. But that child who is willing to accept the love in the father naturally reciprocates accordingly. If a son is a rascal, the father has to reciprocate with that nonsense by being very scolding, stern, and punishing toward that child. That is his love. And if a child is very obedient and very affectionate, the father will take that child and the most intimate activities of his life he will share with that child. So Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. If you remember Krishna, Krishna remembers you. If you forget Krishna, Krishna appears to forget you. Actually, Krishna doesn't forget anyone. Sarvasya cha ham hridisha nivishto matasmati rujyanam apohanam cha vedaishta sarvera ham eva vedyo vedanta kridveda vedeva cha. He's in everyone's heart. He's remembering us. He's giving us all remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. But if you forget Krishna, Krishna appears to neglect you and forget you. Forget you means he simply puts you under the control of the modes of material nature. And he does not interfere. But if you remember Krishna, Krishna personally takes your life in his own blessed hand and arranges everything so that you can achieve the perfection of his love. So Queen Kunti is saying that our welfare is assured only when you remember us. And in the next verse she explains that you eradicate the sufferings of those who remember you constantly. This is the reciprocation of real love. When a devotee always remembers Krishna, Krishna always remembers his devotee. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, maranyatena janati, naham te vimanagapi. Krishna said, this is a real sadhu. A sadhu is always remembering me, therefore I am always remembering him. A sadhu, he only has one thing in his heart, and that is me. And I will tell you a secret. I have only one thing in my heart, and that is my devotee. My devotee knows nothing and no one but me, and I know nothing and no one but my devotee. My devotee has sacrificed everything for me, and therefore I am willing to sacrifice everything for my devotee. How you approach Krishna, this is how he will reveal himself to you. Ultimately, we cannot protect ourselves from the conditions of this world. Only Krishna can protect us. This is knowledge. If we understand this principle, we understand everything. If we know everything else, but we do not have this faith, all of our knowledge is null and void. It is when Krishna remembers us that he protects us and saves us and gives us his love. But in order to attract Krishna to remember us, we must remember him. But in order to give us facility to remember him, Krishna remembering us comes to this world in so many wonderful forms. Matsyavatar, Kuramavatar, Varahavatar, Nirsinga Avatar, Ramavatar, Parashuramavatar, Vamanavatar, Krishnavatar, Kalki Avatar, Buddha Avatar. So many wonderful incarnations. Just to reveal himself. And in every incarnation, except Kalki, he speaks. He gives good instruction. And he performs wonderful pastimes just so that we can always remember him. Krishna has arranged throughout history so many opportunities for every living entity to perfect their lives by just remembering him. And in remembering Krishna, he remembers us. And when Krishna remembers us, our life is perfect. This is unmotivated bhakti. Motivated bhakti is we are remembering Krishna because we want something of Krishna. But unmotivated bhakti is we are remembering Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. So that when he remembers us, he can find some joy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the same thing in a different way. He said, don't try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna. Try to be in a mood of humble devotion so that Krishna wants to see you. We should try to remember Krishna in such a way that Krishna will want to remember us. We want Krishna to remember us in a way that's pleasing to him. If we're engaging in sinful activities and we're trying to remember Krishna, that's good. Krishna is good. Under any circumstance, you should try to remember Krishna. Vitro va saravavastam gatopi va yasmarek pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantarasuchi. Even if you are the most impure, sinful demon, if you remember Krishna, who is pavitra, gradually you become purified of all your sinful propensities. Because Krishna is all attractive. And the remembrance of him is all attractive. But as we make spiritual advancement, we want it that when Krishna remembers us,
it gives him pleasure.
When he remembers us and sees that we're offending people, that we're cruel, that we're sinful, that we're not following the principles of our Gurudev, by Krishna remembering us in that situation, it does not give him much satisfaction. Therefore, we want to live in such a way that when Krishna remembers us, it gives him great satisfaction. When he sees that we are very strictly following the instructions of Guru Maharaj, and when he sees we are very humble in the way we are serving his devotees, and when he sees that we are sincerely remembering him by chanting his holy names. Then when Krishna remembers us, he's very satisfied. And that's the goal of our life, to satisfy Krishna. And please know that when Krishna remembers you, he remembers everything about you. Because he's the Paramatma, who knows your every word, who knows what you do and say in the most secret places where no one else sees you. He knows what you're thinking when you're awake, and when you're asleep, he knows everything. So we want to present ourselves to Krishna in such a way that we're really trying to be proper devotees for us. Bhakti Vinod Thakur prays in that beautiful song that, "My Lord, I want to make my heart a temple for you." Because remembering Krishna is something that takes place in our heart. The mind is within the heart. So when we remember Krishna, we are inviting him into our heart. And we want our heart to be a nice temple so that when we remember him, he's happy there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to give us instruction how to prepare our hearts so that we can properly remember Krishna and make him happy to be there. Through the wonderful pastime of cleansing of the Gundicha temple, many of you have come on our yatra to Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Puri Dham. You have seen Gundicha temple. Every year Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotees would cleanse that temple. How scrutinizingly, not even a speck of dust would he allow. First they took sweeping instruments and they swept and they swept and they swept until every possible dust particle was found and removed. And then after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Let us do it again." And they swept everything, the ceilings, the walls, the floors, every inch of that temple was completely swept out again for finer particles. And then again he said, "Finer particles, we must somehow or other remove them." And Lord Chaitanya said, "I will give rewards of Jagannath's prasad, of nice sweet cakes, for those who collect the most dust." And they were working so hard. They were joyful, but they were joyful working. This is bhakti. Bhakti doesn't mean to be lazy. The heart will not be cleansed if you're lazy. You have to work hard. But a devotee's joyful. And especially when it's in the association of other devotees, working hard becomes a wonderful festival. So they were sweeping and sweeping. And they all collected their piles of dust. And when they all put all of their dust together, every devotee, it was hardly a fraction of the size of the mountain or the pile that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally collected. By his own example, he wanted to show what a great blessing and privilege it is to render even the most menial service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, as far as I know, it was the original idea, and I believe it's still continuing. Every single brahmachari or sannyasi who's living in this temple must rotate to sweep the temple floor and to wash the temple floor. Doesn't matter how high your position is, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he himself honored the opportunity to very diligently sweep and wash the floor of the temple of the Lord. So what is our position? We all must realize we are menial servants. Even Maharaj Pratapa Rudra, the king of Orissa, he ultimately won the favor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by sweeping the floor before Lord Jagannath. So when you're asked to do such a menial service, do not think that sweeping a floor, anyone can do this. I have a master's degree in business management, and I know hundreds of slokas, and I have so many qualifications. Anybody could sweep the temple floor. Any child, any illiterate, any sudra. I'm a Brahmin. Why should I do? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has many greater qualities than you. Not only does he know all slokas, but he's composed all the slokas. And he's sweeping the temple floor and collecting dust, not with a broom, but with his own hands. And with his own outer cloth, he was picking up the dust. And then he said, now every last little fine particle of dust is removed. Now we have to wash the temple. And devotees were going to Indrajumna Sarovar, a beautiful lake of fresh, pure, clean water. And they were bringing buckets, lines of devotees moving the buckets. And they were just pouring the buckets everywhere. Thoroughly on the ceiling they were pouring buckets of water. And on the walls, and on the altars, and on the floors, every inch, again and again and again, until the whole temple was just so much water, and then they let it, swept it all out. Then bring in more water. Hundreds, thousands of buckets of water were coming. And he was just cleansing and cleansing and cleansing. And every devotee, as they were engaging in this wonderful pastime, the only word of exchange between them was Krishna. Whatever had to be done, they didn't say, give me this, give me that. They just said, Krishna. And it was understood what had to be done. In this way, they were all chanting the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the whole Gundicha temple was literally sparkling, it was so clean, he began to polish with his own cloth. He said, now we can invite the Lord to come here. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this is what we must do to our hearts before the Lord will really be pleased to be there. So we want to remember Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased to remember us. We want our heart to be such a nice, refreshing, pure and clean place that Krishna is happy to remember us there. He's happy to reside there. Of course, when the heart is even dirty and filthy, we must remember Krishna because it is the only hope of cleansing the heart. But as we are remembering Krishna, we must very, very carefully not pour more dirt into our heart by foolish activities or words. Ultimately, Queen Kunti is explaining that you are the well-wishing friend and the supreme soul of the universe. There is never any illusion of us and them. Yet even so, residing within the hearts of all, you eradicate the sufferings of those who remember you constantly. The Kurus and the Pandavas were both equally part and parcel of Krishna. Queen Kunti says that Krishna, you are the supreme soul of everyone. You never think in terms of us and them. But yet, although you are totally impartial, still you are captured by the love of those who always remember you. This is the most secret of all secrets, the highest and most esoteric of all truths, that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Paramatma, Parambrahma, Bhagavan, by his own sweet will, he is helplessly attracted to be subordinate to the love of those who constantly remember him. This is the highest revealed truth of any scripture. And only one who has received the special blessings of the Vaishnavas can understand this truth. Sa evaya maya teya yogo prokta puratana bhakto sime shakacheti rahasyam yetadutama. Krishna tells Arjuna, you can understand these high truths which are impossible for the mind or the intelligence to comprehend because you are my devotee, because you have bhakti. Bhakti is given to us through the agency of the Lord's devotees. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no one can understand the true secret of the Vedas unless it is revealed to them through a bhakta, through a devotee. And we find so many scholars, so many preachers, but they cannot fathom the secret essence of all the scriptures because they have not received the dust from the feet of Vaishnavas, because they have not humbly served the Lord and his devotees with devotion. Therefore, although Krishna throughout the Gita hundreds of times explains that he is a person and he is the goal of all existence and he can only be understood through devotion, practically no one explains the Gita that Krishna is the person and that we can only approach him through devotion. It's on almost every page, but they can't see it. But when you are blessed by the grace of a devotee, you see it everywhere. It's obvious. You can't help from thinking, why can't everyone see this? Even though they see it, because they don't have the grace of the Lord and his devotees, their minds twist it all to think that it means something else. When Krishna says, always think of me, man manam bhava mad bhakto, Krishna means not him, but the invisible existence within him. Where does that come from? Where does Krishna even indicate such a craziness? But yet 99.999% of commentators and readers of the Gita believe this. It is called Yoga Maya. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Mudhoyam nabhijanati lokomam ajam avyayam. Although the truth is right before their eyes, I cover their intelligence so they cannot appreciate it, they cannot perceive it. Queen Kunti. She was, and she always will be, the most perfect example of what we should all strive to be. A humble devotee with no concern for pride or prestige. A humble devotee that was willing to endure any situation of this world, and with faith and devotion, always remember Krishna. This simple lesson is the essence and the goal of life. And what is the result? That Krishna remembers us with such affection and love. And that's all we want. That is all we want. Just let Krishna remember us in such a way that he is happy. A devotee wants nothing else. Let the end of the world come. But whether I live or die, let me do it in such a way that Krishna could remember me with satisfaction. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that when we are trying to purify the heart, we should be careful that we are not simultaneously putting in more dirt. During the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam and watering our devotional creeper, this may be avoidable to some extent, not putting things from outside. But the weeds of things have already been there, they also grow along with the devotional creeper. So what is the practical process of and you know that most of the time it is not in your control to pull them out with your own strength. So when the lust and greed seems to be taking more charge of you than your devotional progress, how do we really go about praying to Krishna to pull it out?
By sincerely engaging in the process of devotional service, all these weeds are pulled out. We must engage in the process properly. That is what is important. Which really means being humble. Because it is explained that the water for the seed of devotion is the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But inconceivably, when we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, it also waters bad qualities, weeds. It also gives strength to them. So how to discriminate? That is why we must understand very nicely what is favorable for devotion and what is unfavorable for devotional service. It is very important to hear, to read the books of the acharyas, to hear the words of the devotees who are repeating those words. And if we always remain with that direction and philosophical understanding in mind, humbly aspiring to serve the Lord and not giving in to the propensities of these weeds or anartas, then simply by chanting the holy names and serving the Vaishnavas, all these weeds are automatically pulled out by Krishna himself. We pull them out by not giving in to them. By giving in only to what Guru Maharaj has instructed us. That is the only way.
Maharaj said, we should not put our faith in material things, mainly like whatever material assets we have, these are all fallible things. But isn't it that faith or hope which we put in these things itself is favorable for our devotional service? Because deep in our heart we know that I have these things, the worst comes to us, what can happen? Let me give my energy here. Now, same time you said that if you put our hopes in this, it is not very favorable for Krishna consciousness. So it's both, like we have deep in our heart hopes in that I have my house. Well, what can happen? I can give more time here. But that means hopes in that is material. So how is it?
You put your hope in your house?
Some material security.
Who's providing that security? Are you? I'm asking you a question. Are you providing that security?
But I can't see that it is Krishna, but it is immediately I think it is mine.
That is illusion. Ahankara vimudatma. If you think that you are providing that security of that house, that is false ego. That is illusion. That is a great impediment to spiritual progress. You understand that the shelter you're getting from the house is being provided by Krishna. He's the one that's created the earth. He's the one that's created the bricks. He's the one that's created the steel. He's the one that's created the wood, the trees. Everything's coming from Krishna. If it wasn't for Krishna, no one would have anything to build a house for you. Right? Krishna didn't create the trees and the mines and the earth. There would be no bricks, there would be no wood, there would be no steel, there would be no cloth, there would be nothing. These are all the gifts of God. So whatever shelter you are getting from your house, it's the shelter of Krishna. But ultimately, we shouldn't take shelter of the things he's giving us. We should take shelter of the person who's giving them. Because the things he's giving us, he's going to give, but he's also going to take it away. But he will never leave us if we take shelter of him. There's no shelter anywhere except Krishna. And whatever conveniences we may have that we need for our survival in this world, we have to understand that Krishna is providing it, so I should take shelter of him. I shouldn't take shelter of the thing. Krishna may use some material thing to help you, but he's the one that's giving it. You're a doctor. If you give someone a surgery, does the patient have hope in the knife or in the doctor that's using the knife? Which one? Why?
He has faith in the doctor because he's handling it.
He's handling it. He's controlling it. The knife has its value only insofar as it's in the hands of a good doctor. Would you want your wife to operate you with the same knife?
No.
No offense, Mataji. Why? Because she cannot give shelter in that way. So Krishna may provide a house. Krishna may provide a car. Krishna may provide an income, which is giving you some shelter. But you should understand that they're all just instruments. They're all just God's utensils in this world. But it's Krishna that's giving you the shelter. And if you don't take shelter of Krishna, the shelter of your home will ultimately be the cause of your death and frustration. If you take shelter of Krishna, your home will be a place where you find the shelter of Krishna. Your family will be a place where you find the shelter of Krishna. Your wealth will be a utility by which you're finding the shelter of Krishna. But even if all these things are taken away, you'll still find the shelter of Krishna. You have to keep your attention on Krishna. But if you seek shelter in these things, separate from Krishna, they will not give you shelter. They will ultimately cheat you. You'll become attached to them, and ultimately they will be the cause of your misery, your suffering, and your death. So we must understand Krishna is the cause of all causes, and we should take shelter of only Him. And how He wants to give us shelter on a physical level, through a house or through this or through that, it's He's giving us that physical shelter. We shouldn't be attached to the thing. We should be attached to the person who's giving the thing. He's given you this body. Right now, your soul is taking shelter of your body. Krishna has created it. But by the laws of nature, He's going to take it away too. So as long as we have shelter of this body, we shouldn't take shelter of the body. We should take shelter of Krishna and use the body. For Krishna's service. Use our house for Krishna's service. Use our family for Krishna's service. Use our wealth for Krishna's service. Use everything Krishna is providing in His service. This is how we take shelter of Krishna. And this is how we can actually find shelter in Krishna and in all the things that Krishna is giving us, by using them all for Krishna. Yes.
Those people who are full-time devotees, their way of thinking is different. But those people who are not full-time and they have more contact with the outsiders and the material people, how we should behave with them in situation in which material point of view one is put up in a very serious situation, like somebody is very sick in the family or like that, and then there are material, everybody is giving his own suggestions, I feel or there is a very important marriage, there is a very big book, where there is a very, somebody's place we have to go, some very important program and some very important thing we have to attain. But all the people will fail, say that, well, your duty is to take care of your wife. So in this situation, how we should neglect or accept their advice, because they are in majority. And they consider, no, that's not the right thing you do in this situation.
Yesterday, we discussed this topic of full-time devotees. What is a full-time devotee? A full-time devotee is one who's always remembering Krishna. And how do you know who's always remembering Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, there were so many grihasthas. Murari Gupta was a doctor. He had a family. He had a wife. Was he a full-time devotee? Yes or no? Because he was always remembering Krishna. Even though he had an outside job, he had a wife and everything else. So full-time devotee is not such a superficial thing of somebody who's not working and living in the temple. They're full-time devotee. Full-time devotee is anyone who's always remembering Krishna. We are not concerned with whether one is a brahmachari in the temple or whether one is living outside having a job and a family. They can both be equally full-time if they're always remembering Krishna. And they're both doing invaluable service. If what they're doing it in Krishna consciousness, they're full-time. Why should we discriminate? We don't want to have superficial labels on people. You're full-time, you're part-time. This is not Varnashram. Everyone can be full-time. Arjuna was a full-time devotee. He had several wives. He had his duties. Was he a part-time devotee? He was always remembering Krishna. Kunti was a full-time devotee. She had 5 children. She wasn't living in an ashram. She was living in a palace. So we have to stop making these superficial discriminations. We have to really go into the heart of what Krishna consciousness is. One who's honestly doing whatever they're doing. If a brahmachari is performing his work thinking he's going to get prestige, or he's thinking that I'll learn some things in the ashram, then I'll go home to my village and get a good job, something like that. It's not full-time. A grihastha who's living outside, who's honestly and sincerely trying to do whatever he's doing in Krishna's service, that's full-time. We have to judge full-time on the level of consciousness, rather than on the level of external circumstances. A person who, before he does anything, he asks, is this what Guru and Krishna would want me to do? That person's full-time. Because he's always thinking of Krishna. So if such a grihastha is under the circumstances of social pressures, he has to obviously honor and respect certain social conventions that he's living within. Otherwise, he can't live within it. That is a fact. Srila Prabhupada explained, you're living in a country, you have to respect the laws of the country. Even if they're wrong, you can't disobey them. Correct? Just like it says in the scripture that if someone vilifies or blasphemes a devotee, you should cut out his tongue. But if you do that, the government will not... You cannot explain to the judge that this is what the scripture says, because the judge doesn't believe in the scripture. So therefore you should just go away. You should not cut out his tongue. You have to respect the laws of the government. Because you're within the country, you have to respect the laws. It's a necessity. So similarly, when you're in a family situation, there are certain influences that may come upon you, or obligations, that may not be perfectly and completely Krishna conscious. But because you're in the family setting, you have to respect certain social responsibilities. You have to respect them. But it should be done only when it's absolutely necessary. With your parents. So there's certain things that you have to give into just to keep peace amongst them. You can't be a total fanatic. Because you're a family man. Brahmacharis? Doesn't matter. But if you're going to live in that setting, you have to be respectful to certain obligations of that setting. But we should do it all in such a way that our ultimate purpose is how I can best serve Krishna. And we should not accept anything that's not perfectly Krishna conscious unless we understand that ultimately it will help my service to Krishna. And if we're sincere, we have to make this question. We should not succumb to unnecessary social pressures which are trying to cast us into Maya. If they're influencing you seriously by Maya, don't do it. Just be honest and say, no, I will not do this because I am a Vaishnav. I will not do this because it is a waste of my time. But if it's some obligation that really is very, very necessary in order to keep peace and keep people a little favorable toward what you're doing, and it really doesn't influence your consciousness drastically, then a grihastha has a right to sometimes do those things and within the realm of Krishna consciousness. And the question is whether you're sincere. If you're sincere, you will not take a concession and exploit it for your sense gratification or for the sense gratification of others. If you're sincere, you'll take the concession and you'll use it very, very carefully and only when it's really necessary. And Krishna will judge your sincerity by how, for a grihastha, Krishna will judge the sincerity of the grihastha by how he exploits or carefully uses the concessions that he has in the grihastha ashram. It's a fine line. We should be very careful. Go Premanandi!